Dennis Bernstein. Randy Credico has been with us in New York City. This is a special edition of Flashpoints / Live on the Fly, a collaboration with Randy Credico, and it's Julian Assange, Countdown to Freedom. We will continue this countdown until Julian Assange is free, and it really is time for other journalists who call themselves journalists to stand up and speak out about this horrific situation, which is only going to get worse for all of us. John Pillinger, Randy Credico, thank you. We'll talk to you the next time.
Yeah. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Randy.
Bye-bye.
That does it for another edition of Flashpoints. Our executive producer is Dennis Bernstein. Senior producers are Kevin Pina and Miguel Gavilan Molina. Technical director is Mike Biggs. For more information about the show, to listen to or download archived episodes, log on to flashpoints.net. For questions or comments about Flashpoints, you can contact Dennis at dennisjbernstein@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Cable Community Radio is hiring a news and public affairs director to manage the evening news and public affairs programming and to train and supervise volunteers. For this full-time position, we're looking for someone with proven experience in news and public affairs production, management and supervisory skills with volunteers with an emphasis on teamwork in a collaborative setting, and ability to work under strict deadlines. Cable Community Radio is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. People of color and women are encouraged to apply. The deadline to apply is Monday, July 1st at midnight. More information can be found at kbu.fm/employment.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. At 11:30, Art Focus host Joseph Gallivan interviews Jesse Spies-Werner about the Pacific Northwest College of Arts 2019 MFA show, but now it's stage and studio.
I'm Dima Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music by David Ornette Cherry at davidornettecherry.com. Today, we're looking at some productions at this year's Outright Festival by Fuse Theater Ensemble, which is running through June 30th. With me in my studio is James Dixon, the director of Booty Candy, which is running June 13th through the 30th at 7:30 p.m. Hey, James.
How's it going?
I miss you on stage and studio, so I had to interview you.
I miss you. Do.
Such a great voice. Okay. And with James is Jennifer Lanier, who I've had on many times before, artistic director of the Ops Fest, which is collaborating. That's correct. You're artistic director, right?
I am. Yeah. Well, co-artistic director, actually.
Co-artistic director of the Ops Fest, which is collaborating with the Outright Festival on The Tragedy of Othello. And that's on June 23rd at 2 p.m. All of the Outright Festival shows are at the Firehouse at the IFCC this year, the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, and that's located at 5340 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. It's so wonderful to have you both here and just to have you on stage and studio again. First off, I want to talk about the importance of the Outright Festival and what kind of impact has it had on you, either personally or what you think the impact is on the community. Jennifer, do you want to start?
Sure. I know that the Outright Festival is something I ran into very early on when I came to Portland and was so excited to see that there was a theater festival that really did focus on LGBTQ plus folk, because I hadn't seen anything like that before with theater. I'd seen some film festivals, but not theater festivals. And I think that people get very excited about the readings and the shows that happen there. And it's something that lets the community kind of lift up. You know, I mean, there are a lot of things that are pretty heavy for us to think about sometimes, and especially during the month of June. You know, we love to have that opportunity to really celebrate what's lovely and fun and exciting and beautiful about the LGBTQ community. There you have it.
So thanks for that testimonial, Jennifer. I was just wondering, from James, from your point of view, what does the Outright Festival mean to you?
I think there's something magical about people telling their own stories, and especially when it comes to the LGBTQ2IA community. I have to go through all that. That's, I mean, because I represent a lot of people, and just that, there's a lot of perspectives, and right now more than ever, it's the 50th year of Stonewall. I try to keep politics out of everything, but with you know, we have, there's so many of us just wanting to be happy and be seen and be heard, and this is a great opportunity for us to do that and be unapologetic about it. So, you know, there's nothing wrong. We should be proud of who we are. We can't tell our own stories. So that's, I got goosebumps just talking about it. Because
mm-hmm,
I just, even with the show that we're working on, which we'll talk about in a bit, it's just great to be in a queer theater company with queer artists telling queer stories. And because we don't have to ask these questions of each other. There's certain questions we don't have to ask. We know. We get to actually explore and go deeper. So it's just been really exciting so far.
Well, that's so exciting to hear. I want to talk about both of your experiences and what you have upcoming. But James, you're directing Booty Candy, and it seems like this is your next step in your career, from actor to director. I mean, do you feel like, you know, this is a pretty momentous thing for you as director?
It is. I tell people it's equal parts terrified and equal parts excited. Honestly, I every day I come in, I see these amazing artists just exploring and making choices, and it's just magical. It's a magical experience for me. I always wanted to be in the show. I've been trying to do the show for years, and then Rusty's like, well, what are we gonna do? I was like, do you want to do this play? And he's like, yeah, I think you should direct it. I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, you'll be fine. And I'm really glad this is where I'm at. I'm very happy to be at the helm of this and just watching it unfold. There's so many shows that we're in that we want to see. I wish I could see Parade when I was in Parade. It's like, I get to see this show and I get to be a part of it. So, yeah, this is the next big step. I'm not sure if directing is what I want to do long term, but so far I'm having a great time. So, and it's been easy for me to tackle something that is representative of my life and working with people that are truly intimately connected with these stories. So, yeah.
It really helps when you're really connected to the material, too. Mm-hmm. And that's great that you mentioned Rusty Tennant, who is the artistic director of Outright Festival and Fuse Ensemble. Just being able to have these opportunities is a great, I think, addition to the Outright Festival, too. Do you want to tell us about Booty Candy, since you said that you wanted to do this for years and you had a very successful reading last year at the Outright Festival? Tell us about it. What's it about?
Well, Booty Candy is a Black queer comedy piece written by Robert O'Hara, who's a well-known Black queer playwright across America. This play was written over the course of 10 years. Each scene, it's a little bit different because it's a non-linear play. So each scene is actually compartmentalized, but there are places where we kind of can make some connections. So it does get a little, I think that's the hardest part about this play, is getting the actors to understand that this scene is a container, but what little nuggets can we bring along the way? And it's just pure comedy. I mean, we're talking about everything from sexuality, what it means to be a young Black man in America, exploring his sexuality in the Black community, how that relates to masculinity, the patriarchy. You know, these are topics that we all deal with, what it means to be a man and how we can just be people where we are, and not just Black men. There's perspectives. We have one scene that's about this lesbian couple that are trying to navigate, and just, I mean, it's all comedy, but these are real topics. Sexual identity, sexual assault, and what's weird is these are really serious topics, but I tell people we take these stories, we give it as much gravity as we can, and then we grab the rug and pull it out from underneath it, and we laugh at it. There's nothing funny about it, but there's something really fulfilling about being able to say, well, yeah, that is funny. I've been through that before. Someone sees what I've been through. That's what I love the most about this show. And the actors that we have are just, so talented. It's just really beautiful to see them working together and listening to each other and really and just laughing in the room every rehearsal. You laugh every rehearsal. Your sides will hurt watching the show. So it's really funny. Yeah.
It's an all black cast?
No, we've got four black cast members and we've got one white cast member. There is one white character in the show. And what's interesting about it is everyone's got a line to toe. And John Corr is an amazingly talented performer. And I was like, there's these times when I'm like, you know, sorry, John, we're going to talk about white privilege now. He's like, I'm ready. Here we go. And he's like, but that's how we do the work, though. And we're talking about what it means to be men, what homophobia means. And everyone's tackling this head on. And that's what I love about this, is that we can do this work and really bring these characters to life in a way that's genuine and honest. And really advocating for these characters on the way that makes us feel like we can really connect ourselves to them. So I just feel really honored to be working on this show. It's such a beautiful process so far.
Well, there is a maturity warning, like mature audiences only, and there is sexual content, including the discussions of rape. But it also sounds like there's some really hard-hitting topics, but there's also an irreverence to it. And a lot of people are, from what I'm hearing, what you've been saying, are in the process of growing somehow.
That's correct. There is nudity in one particular scene. It's interesting. 2 days ago was the first time that the clothes started coming off, and that's cool. I didn't make any notice about that. I was like, hey, I'm gonna do this tomorrow. I was like, okay. And then I no lie, when that scene happened, I just couldn't breathe. It was the right time. It's not, you know, this is real. This happens. This is it's really amazing to do all of this laughing for all this time and just take this moment to just really put a button on this one situation and say, this is what we're talking about. There's something here for everyone. This is the line we're towing. It's just been beautiful so far. So I hope people will enjoy, ride the boat with this, so to speak. And hopefully, more than anything, take something home, something to talk about. You know, this isn't just for gay people. That's the one thing about Outright. We need straight folks coming in. This isn't just, oh, this is the gay theater. Like, no, we have stories to tell you. You have a part in this too. There are young black men in your churches that are queer. There are young black men who are openly queer, who are closeted and queer. There are black women, cis black women that are in your churches. There are drag queens. There's all these identities. These people are in your families. They need their stories told, and they need you to witness them. I think that's what's most important about Outright, just not for us to celebrate ourselves, but to invite other people into our world to see who we are as we do at POC Theater and other types of marginalized groups. So,
wow, so well put. And it sounds like a really momentous production for this community, but also for you as a director, too. So congrats on that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Booty Candy runs June 13th through the 30th at 7:30 p.m. at the Firehouse at the IFCC. This year, it's the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, located at 5340 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. You can get tickets at boxofficetickets.com. And there's more info about it at the Outright Festival, about all of the Outright Festival running June 13th through the 30th. And you can go on Facebook at facebook.com/Fuse Theater Ensemble and find out more. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We've been talking with James Dixon, director of Booty Candy, and we're going to be talking more with Jennifer Lanier. And Jennifer, you've had a long history working, you know, a little bit longer history than James, working with Outright Festival. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I also wonder, when did you become the artistic director of OpsFest?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. Let's see. Well, I have been working with Outright. I was trying to remember when I first did a reading with them. I want to say it was maybe in 2011, in that first year, I think, I was able to participate in a reading with Outright, and had met Rusty before that. So, you know, that's been nice to see this moving and growing and becoming something extraordinary, you know, here in town. And as far as OpsFest goes, was asked to come in to be co-artistic director of Original Practice Shakespeare Festival 2 years ago. So this will be my second year really grabbing hold of that position and riding with it. Last year was a lot of catching up to the curve and learning about the company and what the company was about and starting to implement some ideas that I had along with my co-artistic director, Brian Saville-Allard. We discovered that we really work together very, very well and have a lot of fun working together. We have a lot of ideas that are similar and a few ways of looking at things that are not, which is great because there's really nothing more fun than figuring out how to work with someone who has some slightly different ideas about how to go about things, how to put those things together and figure out what's going to work for your company. I mean, we've actually had a grand time together doing that.
Well, there aren't very many female, even co-artistic directors of color here in Portland, so I think that's great.
You could say that to me, that there are not very many at all.
I mean, we laugh, but it's, you know, true.
And it's a real thing. And honestly, that is something that I really take to heart here. And I feel like as an artistic director of color, as a woman, as a lesbian, that I really have to pay attention to the stories that I want told. Now, mind you, here we are telling these stories that this old white guy wrote like 400 and some years ago. However, we definitely don't just stay on one way to tell it. That's a really big piece of OpsFest, is that we believe that these stories absolutely are germane today, that they matter today. And part of it is the way that we cast our shows, like this one that we're doing for Outright, doing the tragedy of Othello. Usually, Othello is cast as a man, Desdemona is cast as a woman, Iago is cast as a white man, and Emilia, his wife, is usually cast as a white woman. And our company rarely does all of those things. And in this particular production for Fuse, my Othello, I'm playing Othello, so you got this big black lesbian up here, first of all. And the woman who's going to be playing Desdemona this time, who is Tish Maskell, is a woman of color, and we're playing around with the skin tone piece. So she's much, much lighter than I am. And we wanted to make sure that there was a contrast there, because if you don't have that contrast, then the story gets a little bit muddied. Mm-hmm. Our Iago is actually being played by my co-artistic director, Brian Saville-Allard, and his Amelia this time is going to be played by one of the other gentlemen in our company. We like to joke that he's other Brian. His name is Brian Berger. And both of these are gentlemen are white. And so we get that piece definitely very heavy, but also having the two men together because we wanted to make sure we did that. And we have that kind of flexibility when we do shows. So that's the story that we really want to tell. And our Cassio actually is being played by a white woman, Othello's best friend, if you will, in the piece. So we're, and the conflict, you know, with Othello thinking that Cassio is trying to get some time with Desdemona and, you know, being convinced of this by Iago. And it's so we want to see what that does. We want to see how telling that story that way, what that does in our community, how we do that, because we all know that we've seen that story. We know that we have seen this story before with groups of friends and people that we've known. And we're very, very excited about this. And of course, you know, we've never done this before, because every time we do a show, we've never done it before. That's part of the way that we work. We don't rehearse. And so this group of people will be coming together for the first time, creating this story right there in real time in front of the audience. I know. It is so amazing.
Whoa.
When you do that. I mean, you talk about incredible real-time response, real-time. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I think that's exciting. I enjoy that part of the OpsFest. But this time, though, most of the time you're approaching your new summer season, but most mm-hmm. of the time you're outdoors. Now you're indoors at the IFCC. That's a little bit of a change, too.
It is. You know, outside, you really have to take care of making sure that your voice is strong enough to go all the way out to the very end of the audience. You have to make sure that you're getting past the various cars. You have to deal with puppy dogs popping on the stage with you sometimes. I mean, this happens, you know. Inside, at least the environment is a little more controlled. And And that brings another, as you said, that's just another set of interesting problems. Like, for instance, we don't have as big a space to work with. You know, it's a smaller space that we're working with now. So we have to think about that with our staging. Actually, I was talking with Brian the other day about restaging The Last Fight, not to put any spoilers out there, but there is this moment where, of course, Othello ends up killing Desdemona, and we had to talk about that because this particular Desdemona is not a little tiny person, and she looks like someone who could stand up to a person of my size and my demeanor. And so we realized we had to redo that particular piece of fight choreography to make it more realistic. But we're in a smaller space, so we'll have to see how that goes.
Well, that's very exciting. The Tragedy of Othello is on June 23rd at 2 p.m. at the IFCC, Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center at 5340 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. It's free admission, but donations happily accepted. And you can find out more about OpsFest at opsfest.org. And Outright Festival runs June 13th through the 30th, and you find out more there at facebook.com/FuseTheaterEnsemble. I understand you're having auditions for this season on June 21st at Mount Tabor Summit in my neighborhood. What other Shakespeare plays are you doing at OpsFest this year?
Oh, okay. Well, we're not actually having auditions. And that's okay, because sometimes people...
It's on your website, though.
Oh, well, what it is, on the top of Mount Tabor, that's actually our first show.
Oh.
It's what we refer to as our Midsummer.
Okay.
But what happens is, at that show, when the audience gets there about 8 o'clock, they have the opportunity to cast the show with the actors who are there.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I just had
right.
to say that.
No, that's okay. So we'll have a group of about 16 actors at the park, but none of us know what we're going to play, and the audience is the one who votes to decide what we're going to play. Then they vote, and we have about 45 minutes to figure out what we're going to do, and then we do the show.
So you're doing an American Idol-type audition, huh?
It's pretty interesting that way. We'll see what happens on that. But yes, that's going to be our first show.
That's hilarious. Okay. What other shows are you doing, though, of Shakespeare's?
Oh, goodness. Let's see. We have 19.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Never mind.
No, that's okay. Well, we do. We have 19 of Shakespeare's plays. And when we get to Willfest in July, over the course of 4 weekends, we are going to perform all 19 of those shows. And on the website, it tells you each one. Of course, we do some audience favorites, A Midsummer Night's Dream. We do Romeo and Juliet. I think Othello and Two Gentlemen of Verona came in last year. This year, we're adding Henry V and Love's Labour's Lost to our canon. We also have Henry IV Part 1, which a lot of people don't realize is an incredibly funny play.
Yeah, it has Falstaff in it, so, yeah.
Thank you very much. It does. I also get it to play Falstaff, which I really enjoy.
Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting. Well, people can find out more about the OpsFest at opsfest.org. I just want to kind of segue a little bit here, because I've had a lot of conversations on stage and studio about equity, diversity, and inclusion, otherwise known as EDI, and regarding working, you know, actors and directors and designers in Portland. But it's been a long time since my guests have talked about what it's like to be an LGBTQIA+ theater artist of color here. And I know, Jennifer, you've lived here quite a while. About 11 years. Have you seen more awareness and opportunities in the time that you've lived here?
There's a little bit more happening. Now, mind you, I say that with a little bit of a caution on my phrasing. You can probably hear that in my voice. A lot of theaters are thinking more about casting LGBTQ folk of color when they're casting. But one of the things that still bugs me a little bit is when people seem to wait for a role to be specific. And if we wait for specific roles for our people, we gonna be waiting a long time. And there are some amazing actors who are, like a few people I know.
Like yourself.
Like me, like James. I mean, I just think of folk. And, I'm working on a show presently with Profile, and I was really excited that one of the roles that I get to play is someone who's not any of those things at all. And I was really pleased that the director asked me to do that. And so there's a little more of that, but that's honestly what I'm looking for, is to ask folks, please don't wait until the script says you need, you know, a queer black woman who's, you know, 5'10 and has, you know, short hair. Don't wait for that. Think about these actors that you see all the time, you know, showing up to your auditions when you're casting things that don't have to be anything in particular.
But conversely, too, how do you feel when there is an LGBTQIA+, and I'm trying to do all the acronyms, when there is a role, but it's cast with a cis straight person, which happens here?
Personally, I do find myself getting a bit annoyed. I mean, I never want to tell any of my friends that I don't think that they can do something as an actor. I'm never going to tell people to limit themselves. It does annoy me, though, when I see actors who actually fulfill pieces of you know, the demographic that's being searched for, and that they really get passed over. That I have to say that does annoy me a bit. I think that, again, it's part of widening our vision. You know, having the artistic folks really widen their vision when it comes to who you bring in for different roles, to really see people as they are. I mean, yeah, that I'm going to go with that now.
Well, James, should there be more conscious decisions about casting in this respect?
Absolutely. I mean, my entire cast is queer. I'm going to say that straight up. They're not queer because I required them to be queer. They're not queer because I asked them to be queer. We can't really do that. But, you know, I said, hey, this is a black queer comedy piece with a queer theater company. These are queer roles, queer. I had a lot of straight folks that showed up for the show. And to be honest, I treated everyone the same as I should. I gave everyone the script. I gave everyone the signs. Hey, do you have any questions? It's like, no. I was like, okay. And then and they run through it and it's like, do you have any questions now? Yeah. I was like, you know, but that's the point, because I did it on purpose, because the people I did cast, they didn't have any questions. They know these things. We're telling our stories. And I think that's important. I mean, and in retrospect, with what Jen just said a bit ago, when I did the stage reading for Booty Candy, it's the first time I played a black queer male on stage. No, not this. No, the second time I did a reading of Rusty's Undetectable the year before. But it's in a queer theater company. This is a great play. And why aren't we doing it? Why can't, well, we know that's queer theater. It's not queer theater. These stories are important. Sometimes you can't just call us. I get the call. We need the black male. Why can't we just program? Why can't we cater doing programming that's geared towards a demographic and letting us tell our own stories? Why are there white directors directing black plays? Why are there all white artistic teams directing all black shows? It makes no sense to me. Why am I directing this show? We need a black queer person directing the show. How many black queer directors do we have in this town? Or queer directors of color? I mean, Jen is one and I am one, but I stepped up. I was like, stepping up.
Well, this leads me to my next and final question, which is, how do we empower more people who are, you know, queer theater artists of color to be not just part of the theater community, but in positions of more power?
Well, you know, there's a thing we call agency. I feel really lucky to be directing the show. I'm also on the Portland Area Theater Alliance Board. I'm on the Drammy Committee. I've done a lot of work in this town, from even working with you on stage and studio. And I'm proud to say that I've had a lot of people along the way that gave me some opportunities that put me in a position to have a say in certain places. And I take what I have and I keep my door open for anyone that needs it. So I'm asking people that are in those positions to make sure that when there's people that need something, we provide an avenue. If someone needs a black male, there could be 20 of us at the audition. I will invite you as well. I'm not worried about you. I'm going to do me. I want a director that wants me. We have to build each other up and make sure that we create more opportunities for one another. Like Rusty Tennant did, gave me an opportunity. And it's been great. He's been a great mentor. And he's been like hands off, which I like. He's like, hey, James, it's your boat. You know, it's your train, you know. And that's what we got to do, you know, do stuff for one another and keep the doors open.
Very little time, Jennifer. What do you have to add?
Just quickly, one thing I do is I want to focus on looking for folks to be a part of our company. Absolutely. I'm looking for queer actors. I'm looking for actors of color. I'm looking for women who are older. I'm looking for women who are pregnant and think that they're not going to be able to get a role in a company because they are. Don't think like that with our group. I mean, that's part of it. And also, I'm part of the AD circle, artistic directors who come together every quarter. And I challenge people in that circle. I ask people, why in the world didn't I see any lead people of color in that show you just did?
You're a woman after my own heart, I have to say, because I call myself the can of worms opener, you know? Gotta open those cans. A great discussion as always, James Dixon and Jennifer Lanier. Break legs on both of your productions. Thank you for being here today.
Absolutely, thank you.
Thank you, D-May, thanks for having us.
And I wanted to give a lot more highlights of Outright, but we've had such a great discussion. I'll just do two quick ones. The Tarot Show by Kate Mira is back, and it's performing a tarot reading for the whole audience, and that's on June 16th. And talented writer, singer, and actor Ernie LaJoy has created a new musical. He's workshopping the Pursuit of Happiness. That's happening June 25th and 26th at 7 p.m. All of these shows are at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, 5340 North Interstate Avenue. Find out more at facebook.com/FuseTheaterEnsemble, as well as the rest of their schedule. And I have all that info at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. So check us out at facebook.com/stageandstudio. Till next time, I'm D-May Roberts. We're going out with more music by David Ornette Cherry at davidornettecherry.com.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival, taking place July 4th through 7th at Waterfront Park in Portland. The Waterfront Blues Festival is the largest blues festival west of the Mississippi. The festival features more than 100 performances on four stages, including the Robert Cray Band, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, Trombone Shorty, and Vintage Trouble. There will also be workshops, cruises on the Willamette River, activities for kids, after-hour jams, fireworks, and more. Again, that's the 32nd Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, July 4th through 7th at Waterfront Park in Portland. More information